Blog Talk Radio.
Playing Sports City Chefs from Amazon Music.
Yeah.
Back, listen, enjoy the vibe. Tip something, light it up, enjoy the ride. Cause the Sports City Chefs is on the night. In the kitchen cooking up, they on the rise.
Sports City Chefs, Chefs. Sports City Chefs, Chefs. Sports City Chefs, Chefs. Sports City Chefs,
Yes, Lord, we got a brand new president. Joe Biden, we riding, I pray you heaven sent. Word from the wise, my people stay ahead of
come on.
I've been relevant, trying to survive the elements. It ain't no love in these streets, these dudes telling it. Case go from cold to hot, state evidence. Kaboom, Sports City Chefs is in the room. Cooking up hot topics to put up on your spoon. They well in tune, blown like a flower in June. Superman verse MF Doom, the clouds loom. So tell a friend, it's the Sports City Chefs again. Pay attention, tune in, we on the set again.
Connecticut. Auburn took off the blazer, loosened up the tie, stepped aside. The kitchen Thomas is alive. Sports City, what's going on? It's your boy TP Thomas back at the helm. Welcome to the Sunday morning brunch. I do have to start this show off on a very somber note. I have been going through a lot in the past week and a half or so. So I have not been able to really been at the helm. I've been on the go. Thank you to everybody that has been holding the chefs down, participating or sharing the love and being a part of a lot of what we got going on. We got new logos, new merchandise. I've been getting my stuff in the mail and things of that nature, but I do have to do this the right way. While I was on the road out there on the West Coast, I lost two of my cousins in one day, two different areas. It wasn't like they were at the same scenario. So, I want to send a rest in peace shout out to my cousin Dante Taylor. I want to send another rest in peace shout out to my cousin Anthony Powell. And just a few hours ago, I lost a childhood friend of mine that just was shot, murdered, and killed in Bridgeport, Connecticut, Marcus Barnes, a.k.a. CB. So I've been going through a lot, dealing with three different deaths in a week and a half, and it's just starting to open up during this pandemic, and I'm heavy-hearted. I can't act like I'm all right, but I'm going to try and do my best to get through these next 90 minutes. So I'm going to give a moment of silence shout-out to the three fallen soldiers between Dante, Anthony, and Marcus, a.k.a. CB. Moment of silence. Okay, Sports City, the calling number is 929-477-2759. I am trying my best not to bawl out crying because it just happened. It just happened a few hours ago, and I'm just now getting word of it before getting on air. And I've known this person for 24 years of my life, and I'm approaching 40. So I'm heavy right now. But there's a lot of news going on. The NBA Hall of Fame, there's information swirling around the NFL. I'm waiting to hear more about potentially what could happen in Green Bay. I'm hearing mixed situations. I'm waiting to hear more before I even blurt it out here and look wrong or sound wrong or do something crazy because I'm in a fog right now, to say the least bit. Again, like I said, the Hall of Fame enters a few interesting names. But let me get some of the people in here as best as I see fit. Calling in by way of the Colorado region of the United States of America, we have Big Easy, a.k.a. Eric Gross. Welcome to the brunch. How are you feeling this morning?
Hey, I am feeling great, Timeless, and you'll definitely be in my prayers, my brother. You know, I'm sorry for these unfortunate losses, so you're definitely in my prayers, but I'm ready to let's get the show going with you, Bill.
Okay, so I'm, you know, I can't lie, like, I lost two family members, and then CB basically ran errands with my grandmother and stuff and lived basically like a few doors down from my grandmother. So that's why the relationship was kind of strong. He had a little combat and back and forth with family members and my family. But when I heard the information. I was just hoping that my family didn't have nothing to do with it. So hearing more about the situation, they said, nah, that, you know, everything's in the clear, so like I'm breathing better. But I just still have to worry about the summer where it's getting warm, people will be outside, so I just don't want people crossing paths or including myself, like going out there. Like I'm more concerned for myself also. So it's May. Like I still have June, July, August, and September to worry about being outside and not getting caught up in these situations where people think that it's a war zone. So I can't lie, it's on my head right now. I'm really trying my best not to bug out. I'm trying, man. So that's three in a week. Like go through a lot. I'm trying. But I don't even know where I am right now. So getting back to, you know, talking about sports, because literally, like, this is so heavy. We have a situation where the Hall of Fame just went down. I know that you were tuned in heavily with the big names of the night. I kind of want to save the best for last and put some of the interesting names that we could talk about first. First, I want to talk about Kevin Garnett. Your thoughts on his career in the NBA and him entering the Hall of Fame.
No doubt, Kevin Durant was one of the greatest power forwards.
So it's Garnett. Kevin Garnett.
Yeah, Kevin Garnett. Yeah, that's Kevin Garnett. That's what we're talking about. You know what I mean? I remember when he first came to the league out of high school, you know, him and Kobe were like the last two greats that to come out of high school. And, you know, he completely put the Minnesota Timberwolves on the map. You know, they had a lot of good runs there, you know, in his early career. And then, of course, when he went over to Boston, ended up getting a championship. So, yeah, well-deserving. He's one of the best to ever do it at his position. And, you know, I'm happy for him. Him and I have a lot of respect for the Boston Celtics. The finals that him and Kobe battled against, you know, those back-to-back years where they won one and the Lakers won one. I mean, it was epic. And, yeah, I'm very happy for him. Timeless. Well-deserved.
Okay, we do have the villain in the building. Barry, welcome to the brunch. How are you feeling this morning?
Villain, super villain, the maniacal evil one is here. What's up, TP? What's up, Big E? How you feeling?
Good morning.
Doing all right.
I'm good, man. I'm feeling
I don't know if you heard the news, Barry. Do you remember Marcus from the High, CB?
Marcus who?
Marcus Barnes.
Barnes? Sounds familiar. Why? What happened?
He could chill with, like, Jackie and them.
Yeah.
Jackie.
Yeah.
Fizz and Chuck and them.
Uh-huh.
He got shot and killed this morning.
Oh, God. Oh, my God. Oh, Jesus. Oh, my God. I mean, it's like another, like Tupac said, another week, another funeral.
Prayers to
his family, man. Prayers
right.
to his family.
So, we'll go. I just want to let you know how in Stanford news, but I wanted to start with some of the big names in the Hall of Fame, because these are some big heavy hitters that at least I know vividly, and I want to save the biggest for last. But first, I want to start with Kevin Garnett. Your thoughts on his career, what he was able to do within the NBA, and, you know, him entering the Hall of Fame also, Barry.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I'm congratulations to Kevin, one of the best power forwards to ever play. One of the not the first, but I think one of the big high school, straight from high school players to come in and really kind of separate himself, because a lot of young kids came before and after him and, you know, really didn't make that impact. He had an impact right away, pairing with Starberry in his second year. I mean, Kevin Garnett is probably known for two things, you know, coming out of high school and being such a great player, but also I think he changed the game as a stretch four. Like, he was one of the first really big, tall power forwards that could really play on the perimeter, because you're talking about before him power forwards like Barkley and Malone that played back to the basket near the key and everything. So to have Kevin Garnett really be a stretch four with Handel playing and shooting from the outside, it really changed the game. Now you have guys, you had guys like Dirk after him, and then, you know, following suit and being a, what you call a stretch four. So, you know, really, really glad for him. Later in his career became a supreme defender, anchor in the Boston Celtics defense in their championship run. So really one of those guys that really had such an impact on the game and you know, was one of that the young culture guys with Allen Iverson that kind of changed the look from a, you know, suit and tie business look to, you know, shirts and Tims, like how we dressed that back in the day. So, you know, just the impact all around. Great, great player.
The interesting thing about KG is I remember everything about him coming out of high school and then doing what he was able to do within the NBA. It was a tandem, him and Ronnie Fields. Everybody spoke so much about Ron Fields that you had to worry about KG, and KG was just like pencil thin, but he could get off the floor, rebound, and just jump like crazy to be an athletic specimen at his size. And he finally got his size like going through, you know, the NBA and I guess, you know, working out and eating habits getting bigger or better. But knowing that he had to grow from 1995, I remember being in the middle of middle school. Everybody was getting his jersey. Like, that was the thing to get, his jersey or Jason Kidd's jersey, you know. And, like, the cool thing about KG, he got the nickname as the Kid. And then as he got older, the nickname the Big Ticket. So it's like just watching him grow, watching him develop, and actually carrying a team like the Minnesota Timberwolves, where they didn't really have that much firepower or star power out there other than him and Tom Gugliotta, and entering, you know, Stephon Marbury at one point. That didn't last too long. And having Spree be in there and, you know, just thinking about the interesting names that he had to try to work with to try and get things to go for a team like the Minnesota Timberwolves speaks a lot. And then he finally left and went to Boston and got his first championship. And everybody remembers what he said at the end of that game up against the Lakers, saying anything is possible. And I think that's still riveting right now, like goosebump worthy on him actually accomplishing that feat. So knowing what Kevin Garnett was able to do to be alongside Ray Allen, also in Paul Pierce, and him and Paul moving to Brooklyn, like I'm just like rattling it off in the top of my head on just thinking about Kevin Garnett's career and what he was able to do, not only being a stretch four, but also being able to play the five because of how long he was and containing some centers and keeping them from getting to the goal as best as possible. Winning Defensive Player of the Year, also that's a feat for him as well. I think if not, he definitely will be included in the top 75 players as this turns around for him as well. I think this may be the year where they start to consider the next 25 players within the league, but this is like a great, you know, cherry on top to the career that he's had. You can't really say too much bad about Kevin Garnett unless you are the despicable owner of the Minnesota Timberwolves. And I'm still mad about that. And if people feel a certain way, I'm heavy in my emotional bag, so I'm ready for it. But this was a guy in Kevin Garnett that tried to purchase the team that brought him to the NBA, and the owner wouldn't sell it to him, but sold the team to Alex Rodriguez, a baseball player. I'm baffled on how that makes sense on a guy that helped bring your organization to where it is right now, and your organization is suffering. I don't know how Alex Rodriguez makes it relevant or better, but I'll get past that. But KG, salute to you. Awesome power forward. You are in the discussion, at least top 10 power forwards all time, at least top 10, maybe top 5. I don't know. That's a debate I probably save for the cookout, to see where I would land Kevin Garnett. The next big name that I'm throwing out there, and this is the guy at the power forward position, and the other 21 in the league, is Tim Duncan. I think it's clear-cut the best power forward we've seen, even though I'm a Rashid fan, I'm a LJ fan, I'm a Sean Kemp fan. Tim Duncan was the best to do it, making a small market team relevant, especially in the Western Conference, even still. Till this day, when I hear the word San Antonio Spurs, I think of Tim Duncan. Like even if the matchup goes up against any team, I'm like, Duncan, no, Duncan's retired. Like I still have to, like, slow myself down. So, Barry, I'll start with you. Your thoughts on Tim Duncan his career and what he was able to contribute to the NBA.
Yeah, I mean, I talked to you a little bit about the fact that I'm starting to develop a top five of each position in the NBA, just my list. You know, it's not set in stone, not Bible, but Tim Duncan, spoiler alert, I've always said it, is the greatest power forward ever. And easily, for me, when his career came to an end, top 10 all time. This guy, and not only just his NBA career that you highlighted, TP, which I totally agree with you, his college career, 4 years at Wake Forest, was pretty darn good too. People forget about the NBA Hall of Fame, and they think it's – well, I mean, the Basketball Hall of Fame, and they just take their NBA career into consideration and not, you know, really taking their college career into consideration as well. And Tim Duncan, one of the better college players that we've seen, had a really good career at Wake Forest. And then comes number one pick, comes to the NBA with a lot of expectations. And, you know, it just happened to be that 1 year at San Antonio. I think David Robinson had got hurt. They had the worst record in the league. They win the lottery ball, and they got gifted a man that would change the organization forever. As you hear my girl in the background coughing. But, I mean, you know, he had a lot of expectations and immediately won them a chip. And, you know, five chips later, you know, he did it all. I mean, the big fundamental, as he was nicknamed. And you know, really, you know, I remember him back to the basket, shooting that ball off the backboard. Nobody could do it as well as he could. You know, rebounding, defense. I mean, he was a phenomenal player, fun to watch. In a time where it was really flashy players, like I said, like Kevin and AI and et cetera, he was just a big fundamental. He was just did everything right and on and off the court. And, you know, his speech, I caught a little bit of it with Pop, talking about Pop. And, you know, he's just Kevin Garnett is one of the better power forwards. But Tim Duncan, to me, is just pretty much in a class by himself at the power forward position. Great player, and so happy that he got in.
Okay, Easy, how about you? Your thoughts on Tim Duncan, especially him being in the Western Conference and what he's been able to do going back and forth with your Lakers, and especially during the Shaq and Kobe era, and the best basketball we probably could have seen at the beginning of the 2000 era, and from 99 to 2003 to 2005 to 2007 to 2013 are his five championships within 3 decades. He's been able to do that. So, like, even though 99 was a shortened season, he was able to get one up against New York and spilling this all the way up until 2013 and ended up against a star-loaded Miami Heat team led by LeBron James, Dwayne Wade, and Christopher Bosh. I mean, your thoughts on what Duncan was able to do with a small market team in San Antonio?
Absolutely. You know, 19 years as a San Antonio Spur, 15 All-Star selections, 15 NBA All-Selections, 15 All-Defensive selections, two-time MVP, and, of course, five-time champion. And, you know, Timeless, we all saw that shot that he made talking about the backboard shots. Boom, a dagger shot against the Lakers, and Derek Fisher hit that miracle with 0.4 seconds shot left for the Lakers to win that game. So I'm thinking that Tim Duncan could have, you know, got to 7 championships if, you know, because they had some heated battles back then in the early 2000s against the Lakers, which they almost beat him, you know, and it just came down to final shots and stuff like that. So definitely debatable. I mean, he's one of the greatest of all time. He's definitely the best power forward of all time. The way he carried himself on and off the court, and to be so consistent for 19 years, this guy was dominant every year he played. So very well deserving. I have a lot of great memories of Tim Duncan. You know, another team that I have respect for, the Spurs, always banging out with the Lakers. And just like you said, Timeless, I mean, you're always going to think San Antonio Spurs. You're going to think the Admiral and the big fundamental. And, you know, the Spurs have a lot of fans in what they have today because of Tim Duncan. So, and Greg Popovich, of course, you know, it was good to see him get thrown in there. I think Popovich is a better coach than Phil Jackson. I know, you know, people are going to come at me for that, but I think if you gave Popovich the coach or the teams Phil Jackson had, he would have dominated. Popovich, he gets these players and he makes the whole team good. I mean, besides Tim Duncan and the Admiral, you get all these other role players on the team and he makes everybody better. The Spurs are still a decent team till this day. It doesn't matter who they throw out there. Popovich makes his team good. So I think he's also one of the best coaches of all time. But hats off to Tim Duncan. Well-deserved. I really like this class that got inducted this year.
That's a very interesting comment, especially coming from you. And that has always been a debatable point, is to see who would be the better coach between Pop and Phil Jackson for what Pop was able to do with the team that he had since the, I really want to say the mid, but I say the later part of the 90s up until now. Pop is able to get 5. Phil has 11 as a, no, he has 11 as a coach, yes. 11 as a coach, I think 13 as a player. Because he got 2. I think he got 1 or 2 with the Knicks as a player.
2. He got 2 with the Knicks.
So he has 13 rings altogether. 2 in New York. Mm-hmm. And it would be interesting to see if he had a dominant force like Kobe and Shaq to be together. I mean, he had Tim and David Robinson. David Robinson at that 2003 stage, that was the latter part of his career. He retired right there. But he was sitting the bench right there while that was going down and basically, you know, rolled Tony Parker in Tim Duncan as much as possible, and knowing that Tim was going up against the likes of Shaq and Kobe alone speaks volumes on what he was able to do in the Western Conference, when the Western Conference was big man city, where you had to worry about Rasheed Wallace in Portland, you had to worry about the Lakers and Shaq and Kobe, Kevin Garnett in Minnesota, like it's tons of potential, tons of talent, tons of bigs, and Tim Duncan was basically standing alone with his counterparts, and Manu Ginobili and Tony Parker, but outside of those guys, it was like everybody else played their role but knew who they needed to fill. There was one point in time of Tim Duncan's career where he was all glass shot. Every shot he took was banging off the glass. He actually saved the league in, like, saying, I'm going to just shoot regular shots and just shoot the ball at the goal like I'm supposed to. If he stuck with his bank shot, he would have killed and murdered everybody that was playing basketball as see fit within the NBA. Tim Duncan, I'm showing grace here that you actually showed us some, you know, relief chilling on hitting that bank shot because nobody could stop it. That was almost comparison to Kareem Skyhook. Because nobody could. He's 6'11". He's shooting a bank shot from outside, and you got to be like 7'5" to contest that shot or block it. Like, and he was doing this continually. Dirk Nowitzki, like, thinking of all the power forwards that he was going up against and sending these dudes home. Tim Duncan was sending these dudes home. Like, man. Best power forward I've seen, and the best power forward ever in the league. Like we could debate it; it'd be great. But I love that. That's what brings the value to the sport. But even
you
though
know,
both
it's,
these guys,
it's no debate though. TP, like I think everybody agrees with you. Like he's the best. Like he really is the best. Like he just everything you lamented on just now just totally proves your point. Like. I, you know, you could come up with a lot of really good power forwards in the game and a lot of different styles. Like Dirk was a shooter and Malone was a banger and ran the floor. And Barkley, you know, did a lot of things in his MVP season. But Tim Duncan did everything. And he did everything well. You know, like better than well. You know what I mean? Like he was phenomenal. He really was. He was just a pleasure to watch. And it was just like he was a good person. He always said the right things, and it's like you almost take it for granted how good he was because he was so good. You know what I mean? Like he was just tremendous. And I love that argument with Phil versus Pop. Only thing I would say is you got to have great players to win. I don't know a lot of great coaches that won without great players. So it you know everybody kind of gets on Phil because he had Jordan, he had Kobe, and had Shaq, but like. There were guys that had Michael before didn't win. There were guys that had Kobe and Shaq before Phil got there. They didn't win. It takes a great player and it takes great coaches. So, you know, that's the only thing. But it's a great debate.
Yeah, and you look at that 90, you know, you look at that Bulls team in 90-91 that went up against the Lakers, heavily underdogs against the Lakers. And back then, I mean, it was basically the Jordan show. Pippen was starting to come around, but besides Pippen and Jordan, they had all these mediocre role players that, and they found out a way to win, and they beat the Lakers pretty convincingly 4-1. So I do give Phil Jackson that, but. You know, I'd like to see Pop in a situation like that 99 Bulls team or the 96 through 99 and the Laker team, of course, because the Laker teams, I mean, they were stacked. They even had old superstars, Mitch Richmond and players like that. They were just stacked from top to bottom. So, and, you know, I don't think Pop would have lost the locker room like Phil Jackson did. And you got to look at that 2004 when they lost to the Pistons. That was a total train wreck. They had Gary Payton, Karl Malone, and they just completely imploded. And Phil Jackson was part of that implosion. Instead of giving his team together, he's adding fuel to the fire. So I think Popovich would have never done that. He would have handled it a lot different, and they would have been able to pull it out. You know, Popovich doesn't play games like that, so I don't see him attacking his players like Phil Jackson did. You know what I mean?
Okay, I want to start a fight here. Is Phil Jackson the best Lakers coach? Is Phil Jackson the best Lakers coach that we've ever seen? First one.
Who are the options? I mean, him or Pat Riley?
It'd be him or Pat.
Who coached Jerry West and Wilt Chamberlain? Who's that coach?
I'd have to look into that, coach.
Yeah, I have to look. I mean, it's an interesting argument. Like, so are we talking Phil just with his Lakers run versus Pat and his Lakers run?
Right, that's what
is
I'm saying. Lakers coach. Yeah, because he got five. I think they both got five. I think Pat may have four. I think that championship that Magic won as a rookie, I don't think Pat was there.
No, I don't think so. So I think it was four. I mean, Pat's run was pretty unprecedented because I think he only missed the finals with the Lakers, I think, once.
Twice.
Two times.
I know the Rockets beat them a couple times.
I just didn't know if he was the coach on that team. So every year, I know for a fact, every year, Magic Johnson only missed the finals twice in his career, four seasons, right? So Pat was a part of that run. You know, the back-to-back, you know, I'm going to give the slight edge to Pat Riley just because of that stat. I think, you know, Phil missed a couple. I think the Lakers' dominance in the 80s kind of is a little bit ahead of the Lakers' dominance. Even though Shaq and Kobe won three straight, and then, you know, but they had some down years, right? They had, you know, like some eight seeds and all that kind of stuff before they really rebuilt the team around Kobe and got back to that finals level. So, but Pat kind of stayed really high, didn't really get – his lows weren't that low as compared to Phil. So I'll give the slight edge to Pat. But that's a good argument.
Oh, that's one. I got another bad one too. Eric, how do you feel, Pat or Phil?
Yeah, I'm just gonna. It's gonna go over with Pat Riley just because. He's got four titles in nine seasons, and seven of those were, I mean, in the NBA Finals. So, that just shows you what type of coach he was, and he coached one of the. I mean, this gets thrown around a lot. 1987 Lakers is, you know, debatable one of the greatest teams ever assembled. So just going with that, and then the fact, like I said, that really rubbed me wrong with Phil Jackson when they had Karl Malone, Gary Payton, and that super team, and he allowed them to implode. A good head coach is going to keep his players together. There's not going to be any of that outside drama. He would have stopped the bickering between Shaq and Kobe, got them on the same page, but instead Phil Jackson added fuel to the fire. So when you're a great coach, you don't do that. You're you got a basketball team here, and like in all sports teams, that's like a brotherhood. You guys all ride and die together. So you figure out a way to get on the same page and make things happen instead of imploding and fighting each other. So that's all I have to say about Phil Jackson. He's definitely one of the, I mean, and he's arguably the greatest of all time, but these other coaches, I don't think they would have allowed that to happen. So he joined the soap opera instead of shutting it down.
I mean, I don't know how fair that is to lay it on Phil Jackson. I think a lot
of
blame
goes
to Shaq.
Because he got out in the media, Barry. Like, I was
I remember.
He, instead of shutting it down, he, oh, yeah, oh, Kobe and Shaq, blah, blah, blah. And then, like, you don't say that stuff as a head coach. You get your players together. You don't play
yeah,
that
Yeah, but, I mean, you
game.
Know, there was drama in Chicago, too, Eric. I mean, you know, listen,
yeah,
we're talking
and he
about
never, and he Scottie never,
Pippen.
Yeah, and he and Dennis Rodman and all that. Yeah, and he got those guys to play together. He didn't go out publicly and add fuel to the fire. That's all I'm saying.
But those were different players. They were different types. They were Shaq and Kobe were not the same as Scotty and Mike. You know, Shaq.
No, but
that was his team, and Kobe was that.
Well,
hang on. So Shaq, that was Shaq's team, and Kobe was on the come, and then Kobe wanted to be his team, and Shaq eventually. Listen, he's the one that delayed. He didn't get into great shape. He delayed his surgery on his what was this? His toe, right? He had the toe surgery, and was completely useless in that finals. Ben Wallace pushed him around, and then eventually, you know, found himself out of town. He left and went to Miami, like and because he couldn't get along with Kobe. So I mean, how much can Phil do with those two? I mean, they both wanted to be the alpha, and it didn't work. You know what I mean? They worked for three straight championships, but eventually it kind of wore thin. And you know, Shaq had to take some of the blame along with Kobe. So I don't know. Like, you can't – I understand what you're saying, and I agree with you, but it's hard to really lay it all on Phil. Like, it was his fault when he had two alphas that I don't even know anybody could control those two.
Yeah, well, here's the thing, too. You know, I think Popovich would have looked at it this way. Hey, check this out. This is nobody's team. This is our team. We're a team. This is, I mean, you can't. And yeah.
Would you have said that to Michael?
Selfish what Kobe and Shaq did. It falls on them, ultimately.
But,
it does.
But would you have
fault.
Said that to Michael? That's the point. Michael and
well,
everybody
yeah,
knew
and
it was Michael's
thing,
team.
Gentlemen. Yeah,
and
I
Pippen
mean,
was
yeah.
the number two, right? On L.A., you had two number ones. That was the problem, right? Like, Kobe and Shaq, they built championships around both guys because they both are number one. In Chicago,
yeah.
Michael was one, Pippen was two. Everybody knew it. Even when Michael left for a year and a half and it was, you know, Scotty's team, Scotty, you know, he's the one that had the temper tantrum against the Knicks, didn't want to be on the court because he didn't get the last shot. He wasn't built for a number
yeah.
one. He was happy when Jordan came back, so he was the one, and Pippen can be the two. And L.A. was different. Shaq and Kobe were ones. They were both number ones, and you know what I mean? It was just different. I don't know.
This is a very interesting debate, and I love it. We do have a caller in queue. Calling via over the pond, we have Rodri Jones in the building. Rodri, welcome to the brunch. How are you feeling this morning?
Sorry to hear about your loss, Type. First off, Barry E, how you boys doing? Just to throw a question around, if I can. Just saying, you know these names you're mentioning, they like second names over here in the UK. Like in my hometown here in Wales, there's not a big population at all. It's a very small mining village, right? And I see those names in my village. It's like people wear Garnett jerseys, people wear Duncan jerseys, Kobe jerseys. It's, you know, the game has transcended so much here as well. And to listen to you boys talk about it with passion there, it's incredible. It's interesting, you know. And if I could just ask a question, how much of an influence do you think Michael Jordan have had on these boys in general? And, you know, we talk about Tim Duncan always saying the right thing, doing the right thing. Popovich saying, you know, there's no championships without Duncan. How much of an influence do you think MJ had on them?
I'll let you go first, Barry. How do you feel about the question poll?
Yeah, I mean, the league isn't where it is without Michael. I mean, listen, and I said it last week, you know, Magic and Bird saved the league. You know, like Dr. J kept it afloat. Magic and Bird, their rivalry saved the league and brought it to, you know, from where it was on a tape delay to where it is now. But Jordan pushed it to another stratosphere. Like, Jordan made it a worldwide sport. Like, Jordan, nowhere you can go without knowing who that guy was. So his influence on the league and on these guys was probably immense. Like, Kobe emulated Michael and you know, all these guys, you know, early in their career got to face Jordan and probably, like, starstruck. I mean, I remember seeing AI say, you know, there was, like, an aura, you know, kind of like Charlie Murphy when he saw Mick James, you know, it was like an orange aura, you know, I see it, you know what I mean? So Jordan is, you know, his influence on the game is immense. And, you know, the fact that he's almost 60 years old and people still wearing his shoes just tells you how much of an impact on the game he still has and will forever have on the game.
Eric, your thoughts on the question posed as well?
Oh, I agree. And then just look at the old Gatorade commercials, man. Want to be like Mike. So he completely elevated the game. And, you know, yeah, I think Tim Duncan, all these guys adapted that killer instinct, which they both had, Kobe and Duncan. They had that killer instinct to win and win in big ball games, clutch. Of course, you can hear what Michael Jordan says about Kobe, like that was his little brother, and he completely emulated Michael Jordan. That's his style of play. So I think he, just not on those two players, he, and still to players till this day, I mean, it's huge. So, and he'll always be remembered that. I mean, everybody, like you said, Barry, even non-basketball fans, they know who Michael Jordan is, you know. Most of them know who Kobe is. Most of them know who Tim Duncan is, just because of the stars these guys actually were. So, yeah, I agree with that 100%.
Okay, so we'll move right along. Go ahead, Roger. I'm sorry.
Well, no, just to go back to that, there's no way those names are on jerseys in this town without MJ, no. But just, I think, like, the demeanor of the players as well, I think he's done so much for. He's just, he showed up to be the pro, right? He showed up to be, like, a true pro, and, yeah, just great. I just want to chime in with a couple of questions somebody might ask over here, but carry on, boys. It's great listening to you.
Okay.
Good stuff.
We will carry on. I mean, it's a great, interesting discussion. I do want to throw one more before I do go out there, another fight, or seeing how you guys feel about it. Who had the better career, Timothy Duncan or Shaquille O'Neal? Who had the better career in the NBA? I want to see how you guys answer this one. I'll save Eric for last. Barry, I'll come to you first. Your thoughts on that?
I think Shaq was more dominant, but Shaq had more lean years, I think, towards the end. I think he probably played a year or two too long. Tim Duncan, to me, has had a better career. You know, even though, you know, two MVPs, I think Shaq had, what, I think three MVPs, I think, two or three. I just think Tim was a better defender than Shaq by a hair. I think, you know, I think offensively, obviously Shaq was more dominant, but Tim had a more well-rounded game. I just think, like, Tim stayed on a high much longer than Shaq did. I think Shaq, like I said, just had a couple of lean years, like in Boston and Phoenix, and I think his last year or two in Miami. So Tim, even though he had some lean years towards the end, was still playing, you know, his teams were at a high level. So it's close. It's really close. Like, I'm just going to go with Tim by a hair.
This is very interesting. How about you, Roger? Your thoughts, Tim Duncan or Shaquille O'Neal? Who do you think has the better career?
Just because how dominant Shaq was, I'm going to say Shaq. I mean, he's the most popular name I know, but I listened to a lot of what do you say to Charles Barkley, and they'd go back and forth. And, you know, just through following football as well, but, you know, you can't help but follow other sports because of that, and just listening to those two go at each other, and then they bring up each other's games. It's just, it's unbelievable what Shaq has done for the league as well, as well as MJ, you know. There's fans globally, I think, like Shaq as much as they like MJ. And it's, you know, he's done the stuff off the court as well. But just watching how dominant he was, how physically dominant, I just think he was that guy you wanted on your team, right, at centre. I mean, he was around the court as well, you know, for his size. You got to give it to him. He was a very dominant player, both absolutely phenomenal, you know. It's like choosing the best ice cream flavor, you know. It's like Shaq or Shaq, you know. And I really enjoyed watching him play.
Okay, so Eric, I'll leave you last. I do have a caller in queue. If you're calling, press 1 to let me know. I'll probably come to you anyway. But Eric, your thoughts? Who had the better career, Tim Duncan or Shaquille O'Neal?
Well, Shaquille O'Neal, as an Orlando, a member of the Orlando Magic and the Los Angeles Lakers, absolutely the most dominant center we've seen in the NBA. But with that being said, Tim Duncan dominated for 19 straight seasons. Even in his last season, he was a top guy. When Shaq left the Lakers, you know, even his run in Miami, you look at his stats, were not that great. He was injured a lot. That was more of Pat Riley and the Miami Heat team that they had. They were pretty loaded top to bottom. So I wouldn't say Shaq was one of the main factors why the Miami Heat won the championship that year. So with that being said, I'm going with Tim Duncan because he dominated throughout his whole career from start to finish. Shaq, after he left the Lakers, it went downhill for him. I mean, he should have retired. I mean, when going to Boston and Phoenix, I mean, that was, you know, pretty much a joke. So with that being said, Tim Duncan, if Shaq was able to do what he did in Orlando and with the Lakers his whole career, it'd be an easy Shaquille O'Neal. But Tim Duncan did it consistently, and he did it till the very end of his career. And like we said, timeless, this guy won a championship in every decade that he played. So Tim Duncan.
Very interesting answers. I thought there might be Shaq, but I felt more Tim Duncan. But we'll see. We have a new caller in queue, caller from the 615. Welcome to the brunch. What's your name and what's on your mind this afternoon? Or this morning, excuse me.
Hey, what's up, Tom? It's Mike. How you doing today?
Doing all right. How are you?
I'm doing good. I was going to – you said Eric was last, so did you want me to bring up a different subject, or do you want me to comment here?
No. You can answer how you feel. It's funny that you said Eric is last. The two of you are Laker fans, so I have to deal with this for the rest of the day.
Oh, Lord. Here we go.
Okay, now, so I'm – man, I think that, you know, they're built different. I think Shaq being bigger, he kind of started breaking down a little bit injury-wise. And Shaq will be the first to tell you that he didn't do a ton in the offseason, because especially in when he was with the Lakers, he knew that he had somebody to help kind of carry it for a while until he got back in shape. Shaq was like, they've been beating on me so long, I'm going to go home and eat the barbecue for a while and chill out, right? So as far as dominance in his career, I would say that there was a point that Shaq was definitely more dominant, and I think that, like, his personality and everything else that he did, like, if you want to talk about off the court, too, and how he was able to use that platform to launch into other things, I would say Shaq. If we're just looking at consistency and production between the lines, I would say, you know, more rings every decade, you kind of got to go with Tim, but I think that Tim Duncan's game, in a lot of ways, like, we appreciate who he is, and basketball purists understand, you know, who the big fundamental was. But, you know, I think he wasn't flashy, but he was just always sound. in the way he played the game. So, but strictly between the lines, I would probably I'd probably give it to Tim Duncan. But there was a point in time in his career that Shaq was definitely the more dominant player. And this is coming from a guy who, even an LSU guy, it's really tough for me to pick somebody over Shaq in those in that regard. But that would probably be my take on it.
So you're going Team Tim too? Everybody went Tim over Tim over Shaq. Boy,
no.
this is
We had one Shaq.
Yeah, we had one Shaq. I mean, you know, it's an interesting argument, TP. But I've always said that Tim Duncan is in my top 10, and Shaq just misses my top 10. So I have to go with him. You know what I mean? Like,
ooh,
absolutely.
Ooh,
yeah.
Ooh,
like, this
give
Shaq,
me your top
Shaq
10,
Barry.
I need the top 10, Barry. I need your top 10.
But you know my top 10. I've always given you my top 10. Shaq is the fourth greatest center ever. Shaq is the fourth greatest center ever. He's never going to crack the top three centers for me. Never.
So who you have? You have Kareem, Bill, and Russell.
Russell. Yeah.
You
know, Shaq is always four to me. I think Shaq has made a great case, but I've seen him at his high. Like, we were young kids coming up together, watching him in Orlando. Everybody had a Shaq and Penny jersey, but I've also seen the lean years, like you guys said, like, in Boston and in Phoenix and stuff. So, you know, when he was getting bigger and out of shape, and even Miami too. So, you know, Kareem, everybody thought Kareem was finished. I think it was, correct me if I'm wrong, Laker fans, I think it was, what, 87, 88, and, like, put on a show and let people know he could still do it. Like, that's the Kareem I grew
Absolutely.
Up watching, because I'm younger. I'm younger, so I was about 7, 8 years old by the time he was still playing. So, but, yeah, like, it's always going to be that for me. I mean, you know, I'm not going to rank them. You know, I hate doing that, but, you know, Michael, Kobe, LeBron, Shaq is not in my top 10. So I was like, I got the three centers, Russell, Kareem, Tim Duncan, Larry Bird, Magic. So that's what, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. And then I put the Big O in my 10. So, you know, Dr. J gets kind
of
pushed out. Huh?
Ahead of Shaq?
The Big O? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just because nobody saw anything like the Big O, like a big point guard. And people just don't really understand how really good he was. Like, guys like him and Elgin Baylor, they don't really understand how really good those guys were. So, I always give those guys flowers, and, you know, Dr. J was always in my top 10, but I had to push him out for Kobe, and make way for, like, Tim Duncan. You know, there's guys that are playing now that's going to make it and push these guys out, you know, Steph Curry and KD and et cetera. But, for right now, that's my list. That's always how I'm rolling with it.
Okay.
Go ahead.
So, I like your top 10. I haven't really sat down and thought about that. So, whenever we do this again, I'm going to revisit to see how much I really want to push back on you on that, and you know, in a respectful way, because you know, as you're running down that list, I was thinking Dr. J. I was wondering where he was going to come up in there, and I understand you said he pushed out for Kobe. You know, I think about Jerry West and what a great shooter he was.
Yep.
There are definitely some guys, you know, kind of right on the fringe of that. So next time we do this, I'm going to bring my top 10 to the table.
I agree. Jerry West would be top 10, but LeBron pushes him out, you know, at the small forward position too. Like, you know what I mean? So it's like, it's tough. It really is tough once you start filling that list, and then you're like, okay, I got like 8, 9. Okay, like, who else? Like, who fights for those last 2 spots? You know, it's a fun list though, and you know, everybody can disagree. That's, I love it. Just everybody has their opinion and who they like more. So it's all good.
Yeah, and as long as you're not trying to put somebody like Clyde Drexler in your top 10, I'm going to respect what you have to say. I'm not saying Clyde Drexler wasn't a nice player.
Clyde the Glide. Clyde the Glide.
Like,
got to give him his props.
It's like Michael Jordan showed you, though. They were on a completely different level. And when people tried to put
him on that level,
absolutely. He took that personally. Right? So that's all I mean. I love Clyde, but he's not that. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
Okay, so the moment that everybody's kind of been waiting for is Kobe Bryant entering the Hall of Fame, and we are a year and almost 4 months away from him passing away. And I'm heavy-hearted right now because I've lost 3 people in a week and a half, and I'm trying my best not to lose it here, but just knowing that he's not around. You know what I'm saying? And just looking at his video, and it's like, it's still unreal to me. Like, that is the man that I looked at every time I seen on TV, or if the Sonics played them or if the Thunder played them, I wanted to take Kobe out so bad just because his swagger, his aura on the floor is like, just beat him, man, because he's so hard to guard. He's the next thing that, you know, reminds you of Michael Jordan, but he was on a Laker team and had the Laker uniform on. It's like, beat the Lakers, beat L.A. Like, having them shirts that just said beat L.A., it's like, man, and he would just do miraculous thing after miraculous thing, tough shot, get to the lane, dunk on your big man, doing reverses, all type of crazy scoring outputs. Having that year, I think in 2006, that 60-point run, he just kept putting up 60-point games. It was like, wait, this guy's going off at this capacity? Like, crazy. So, like just knowing what Kobe was able to do, and he's not here to get your flowers, and it's like, oh man, like, you thinking of him not being in that type of scenario, knowing that he should be here to enjoy his fruits of his labor. And I didn't like Kobe just because of competitive nature, not as the man, like he did something or bumped into me, stepped on my Jordans or spilled soda on me or something, nothing like that. Like, just competitive, just wanted to take him out, and it's because he was so good. This is what he brought to the game. So I want to see how you guys feel about his comment. Well, not his comment. Excuse me. His widow's conversation, basically, with Vanessa addressing the masses, Michael Jordan supporting her, and some people I know in a different form or stage that we have set are speaking differently about Vanessa Bryant's comments during her speech. I feel otherwise. I feel like it could have been done stronger, but she did a strong job, especially while grieving after a year and some change and while the world is trying to open back up. But I want to see how you guys feel about this one. Again, I'm going to save the Laker guys for last so I can get more of a passionate response. But, Roger, I'll start with you first. Any thoughts or opinions or how you thought of Kobe Bryant, especially viewing it from across the pond in Wales?
Yes. It was going to be one of those moments. Even though I remember seeing it online, you know, I'm always going to remember the day. It was that emotional. It was just, with his daughter as well, the way it happened, I think it was like, you know, just getting kind of thinking about it, to be honest, because it changed, I think, sports. But just the reaction from people, I don't think I've ever seen anything like it, you know. It was like everybody had no words to say, and then all of a sudden, a few days later, you know, some of the most beautiful words I think I've ever read. You can't take away his legacy. It's one of those days, you know, you just never forget the way it happened with the helicopter as well. I mean, Calabasas, and just the way it all went down. It was emotional. Got a feel for his wife, but just the stuff with his daughter, the legacy of his daughter, and what, you know, the career she could have had as well, is sad. I mean, yeah, he'd be one of the reasons why I'd flip the channel to watch the Lakers. You know, if Kobe's playing, you can just sit down and mesmerize over this talent, just pure talent. And I mean, anybody who's ever seen a basketball court, wherever you are in the world, if you've seen a basketball court, you can appreciate the skill level of Kobe. And what he could do, how he played. You know, I know he had a feud with Shaq and stuff, but you know, the way Shaq handled that as well, and the way all that went down was pretty classy, and just the class shown by athletes, you know, in all sports, even like football players in the NFL now, honouring him with a number change this season. You've seen it, and yeah, it's hard not to get emotional about it, because you just remember the day and you remember how you felt, but also, you know, just, you know, the relationships he had with players around the league and with NFL players, even tennis players, soccer players, you know, everybody was up in arms about it. Everybody was upset about it. So, yeah, just a day any sports fan will never forget. And I'm just grateful he's got his stride and it was as class as it was last night.
Okay, Barry, your thoughts on Kobe, his legacy, what he brought to the NBA, especially a kid out of Lower Marion out there in Pennsylvania, especially coming from overseas and his father being Joe Jellybean Bryant, winning a championship with the Philadelphia 76ers as well. I mean, your thoughts on everything about mama mentality and what he brought to the NBA.
Yeah, I mean, he was right in line with Kevin Garnett. Being, you know, a high school, straight from high school. I think he could have went to Duke if he wanted to. I think Coach K really wanted him bad. But, you know, he could have gone, but he decided, you know, he was ready to make that jump. You know, one of the few guys that made the jump to the pros from high school and was just a phenomenal player. That 1996 draft, it goes down as one of the greatest drafts in history. I'd love to debate that, too. But, you know, honestly, you know, I hated Kobe Bryant coming up. I mean, you know, I hated the Lakers. I hated Kobe Bryant. I hated watching them win the rings. I wanted anybody to win it. I wanted the Spurs. I wanted the Sac Kings with Chris Webber to get anybody but them. But it's kind of that hate for Kobe because everybody I knew had a Kobe Bryant jersey. Everybody loved him. I couldn't stand it. That hate turned into, you know, respect, and the respect actually turned into a really kind of love for the guy because of how hard he played. He played the game the right way. He was a smart player. You know, he was cut from that Jordan cloth. There was a lot of baby Jordans coming up, and this guy was the closest to get to that, you know, just to scratch the moon. You know, some people fly too close to the sun, but he was right there scratching at the moon, scratching at God's heels, and you know, he was just a phenomenal player, and I remember that day too. It was just a dark Sunday, and just really couldn't understand. Was it real? What was happening? You know, I called my brothers and sisters, and you know, it just, if anything, that his legacy in life and his you know, fortunate passing just kind of taught you to cherish every moment. Don't be afraid to tell people that you care about them. You know, because you don't know when God is going to say, you know what, it's time for you to come home. So, you know, he was just a phenomenal player, one of the greats that, you know, if it wasn't for Michael Jordan, he'd be the greatest shooting guard of all time. His impact on the game, you know, he was that next one in line. He's that kind of bridge between Michael and I guess LeBron's era, where he just dominated the game, and you know, you just can't say enough about the guy, and it's just, you're right, TP, it's just unfortunate that he's not here to get the flowers, and it just taught us, like, give these guys their flowers while they're here, you know, don't wait until they're gone to give them their flowers. It's, you know, they deserve it while they're here. So if anything, just learn from that too. So, you know, Hall of Fame, we all knew he was a Hall of Fame, but just a Hall of Fame person too.
Okay, we do have a caller in queue calling out of the 703. We have Aaron in the building. Aaron, welcome to the brunch. How are you feeling this morning?
You know, gentlemen, I'm good. I'm great. And I'm just not going to waste anybody's time on a pickup right here talking about the late great Kobe Bryant and his enshrinement and the Hall of Fame yesterday. For starters, salute to Vanessa for going up there and just freestyling that whole thing. Like, she had no notes. She had no cue cards. She had nothing. and she just went up there and freestyled the whole thing. As a matter of fact, it was so fluent. She swore on national TV, and the bleepers just missed the bleep. You know what I'm saying? Bleeping it out because, I mean, it was so fluent, and she spoke so eloquently and so well about her husband. And so salute to her for doing that. You know, those people who came around and supported her and her daughters, you know, over the past calendar year and who have continued to do that since, you know, his passing should be commended and everything. But, you know, today we're honoring, you know, Kobe and, you know, his legacy. And for me, I had a legit love-hate relationship with this guy. You know, I loved him because of the mentality that he practiced, the way he went about his business, the way he owned up to his thoughts on and off the floor. And that's something that I emulated in my own profession. Most of you guys know I'm a musician. I'm a drummer. I've been fortunate enough to travel the world doing, you know, music and playing drums. And that type of Mamba mentality was something that I carried. It's still carried to this day, you know, when I'm in a studio, when I'm, you know, on a stage, when I'm preparing for a show or whatever the case may have, carry that because for me, you know, it's not so much how you fall, it's how you get back up. It's not so much that you practice and that you rehearse, it's the manner in which you rehearse and which you practice. And Kobe embodies that on a day-in, day-out basis. I want to take a quote from Vanessa's statement from yesterday. She said that, you know, Kobe never took days off when he was hurt. He never took days off because, you know, that fan that was up in the nosebleed section, you know, saved his allowance, begged his mom and dad or his guardian to come see him play, and he did not want to disappoint that fan by missing the game. You know, and how many times we, as fathers, as brothers, as friends, as future, as athletes, have taken, you know, a day off or a slacked off from a rehearsal or a slacked off from, you know, doing what we need to do because we're tired or we're hurt. And that mentality, you know, is something that Kobe embodied. That mentality is something that Kobe perfected, and it's that mentality that, you know, even in his passing, has passed down to other athletes, other men, other fathers, other people. Hell, don't even, I mean, it doesn't have nothing to do with being a male. You know, other people have picked up this mantle and ran with it. So I salute him for that. His on-court exploits, you know, indictment for me, we don't even need to really go into all of that. You know, I mean, his records are his records. You know, he will forever be a Los Angeles Lakers legend. You know, when you mention L.A. basketball right behind Magic and Kareem, you had better mention Kobe or Laker fans are coming for your neck because that's just how he is. And that's just what he meant to that city and what he meant for that sport. You know, and I'm going to close with this. You know, Kobe Bryant really revolutionized the game. You know, it was Michael, you know, and it was Kobe. And these two guys growing up, I'm a 90s baby, I'm 37 years old. So when I was growing up, you know, I would sit there and I would go outside, jump on my basketball, do the 3-2-1, and I would yell Kobe as I was shooting the game winner because that's what I emulated. That's what I wanted to be like. I mean, everybody did Jordan and people nowadays are saying LeBron and whatever, but I yelled Kobe. You know what I'm saying? Because that bucket was going in, and if you didn't yell Kobe right, it wouldn't go in. That's just kind of how I rehearsed, you know, and I kind of took that on when I played high school ball, when I played middle school ball, when I played, you know, semi-pro ball. That's how I took it in my rehearsal time. So salute to him, salute to his legacy. I really wish he was here to say all these things and, you know, to kind of be showered with love and praise and adoration. Yesterday's class was one of the greats, in my opinion, when you start talking about Timmy Duncan and you start talking about, you know, KG, the big ticket, and, you know, you start dealing with the coaches and Rudy Tomjanovich, Tamika Catchings from the WNBA. I mean, that yesterday's class was one of the best that I can recall in some time, and I think all were deserving. But Kobe, salute to you, sir. I know you're looking down, proud of your family, proud of your loved ones. Keep looking down on us now. We miss you, bro.
Okay, now it gets interesting because I get to go to the Lakers side of things. I think I'm going to see the stronger Kobe fan for last. So, Mike, your thoughts on what you see from Kobe from, I mean, start to finish, out there in Italy and him learning internationally and then knowing that his father was within the league as well and coming over here and making a name in Pennsylvania and then getting drafted by the Charlotte Hornets, getting traded to your organization and what he's been able to do as a lifelong Laker. I mean, your thoughts on the career and the life of Kobe Bryant, especially ending it with him going to Springfield, Massachusetts.
Thank you, Tom. And I'm going to push back if you think there was a stronger Kobe fan than me, my friend.
You'll see in a minute. You think so.
Okay.
You will see in a minute.
I'm excited. I'm excited to see that. But thank you for giving me the platform to speak. I've never had the pleasure of speaking with the man, but my first ever experiences with him. Actually, let me stop for a second. I want to start and say, you know, there's this expression that people have of don't let your failures define you. And when they say that, they mean like, that doesn't mean you're a failure. I'm gonna spin that, and as I close in a minute, I'm gonna point out how they can define you in a very positive way, and Kobe showed that over the course of his career. My first experience with or about Kobe was in an AAU wrestling tournament on the East Coast, and I wrestled a kid that was a teammate of his, or that knew him from school, and we talked about Kobe that whole day. And Kobe and I came out of high school the same year. He was a year younger than me. And just for clarification, he would have gone to North Carolina from everything I heard, as much as he loved Coach K, because he wanted Vince Carter in practice every day if he had gone to college. And how would you have liked to have been a fly on the wall to see those practices? But Kobe Bryant, you know, he starts off, and my first example is in his career, he talked about how a lot of those shots were coming up short. But they were online, they were just short. So he's like, what can I do? He changed his routine to get his legs stronger so they could hold up over an 82-game season. So he took that failure, and he let that failure drive him to what was going to happen next, right? Over the course of his career, obviously we saw him become the great basketball player he was, and I think that there's a lot of things that we could say about his career. I don't have that much time, and I'm not trying to take that much from you guys, but there are a few other things that I want to say. I'm going to fast forward to 2008 when he went and knocked on Coach K's door and pulled him aside and asked to talk to him. He said, I want to guard the best perimeter player that we have to face in every game on this international stage. And he said, I promise you I will destroy them. And he might have had Mondo in mind, but he also knew he set an example for those guys. And Kobe did for Anthony Davis and for LeBron and for Dwayne Wade and later on for Kawhi Leonard and for Jason Tatum. The same kind of thing that Michael Jordan did for him. Like, he was a big brother. He was a mentor. He worked out with these guys. But we never knew about it because Kobe didn't do it for the glory of it. Kobe did it because he wanted to impart knowledge of the game. So that's something that definitely still really jumps out to me. But I want to fast forward past his basketball career and just say that if you check out a lot of the interviews that he did post-retirement, when you hear him talk about the content he was creating and you hear him talk about the things that he was doing, I mean, the man pitched a short film. Everybody told him it wouldn't work. So what did he do? He decided to produce it himself. So he let people's rejection drive him, and the man won an Oscar. Come on now. How many times do you see that? An all-time great basketball player also get an Oscar. People can say what they want to about it, but that's impressive. But when you hear him talk about what he's doing, when you hear him talk about the content that he's created and who he's hoping to speak to and the differences that he wants to make and how he's including diversity, how we're gonna have these characters, even in animation, that look like my girls, that bring diversity to the screen, that really help promote inclusion. You could hear the passion in his voice. You could hear that Mamba mentality, that pursuit of excellence. Even when he talked about audiobooks and people said not a lot of money made there, he's like, nah, we're going to have blended orchestras. We're going to have Felicia Rashad read the stories. You know, if we're going to produce it, we're going to do it. We're going to do it up big, right? We're going to do it of a high quality. And that speaks to that Mamba mentality, that pursuit of excellence. I feel like anybody that he came across, he challenged him. He might give you ideas, but you talk to him about ideas, he's gonna push back and ask, like, what are you doing to accomplish these things? He didn't believe in wasted time and space and energy. He was always going, always pursuing greatness. And there are a lot of things that I can say. I really appreciate being given this platform to be able to speak. But the one thing that I want to kind of close with is Kobe's second act that he was in the middle of really starting to put together. Kobe was going to impact the world and touch the world in a far greater way than he ever did with his basketball ability. And for somebody that's such a transcendent talent, like, that's saying something, and those are big words. But when you look at all the people that he was trying to reach, you know, he was trying to reach, you know, the puny kids, the kids that didn't necessarily fit into the world. He was trying to reach any and everybody, promote the women's game. He was trying to set things up where Gigi would have the platform to be the best baller in the world, this best female baller in the world, and she would get that attention. The attention for her, the spotlight for her, would have been even brighter than it's ever been on anybody in the women's game, probably, because of the groundwork that this man was laying. But when you look at what he was doing for inclusion, for women's sports, to try to reach out to those kids that are trying to find their place in the world, to try to create content, to really help people find their place in life and help people find success, Kobe Bryant was just getting started in life. And the impact that he would have made in the second act would have touched far more people and reached much further than his basketball talent ever reached. Kobe was much more intelligent, was a much smarter man than a lot of people give credit for. And in the game of life, when everybody else plays checkers, he played chess at a grandmaster level. And he said to Rob Pelinka at one point, I heard stories about him saying that he might end up dying young at one point. He was a very bright light. And one thing that I can say is, you know, I think he was so special and such a presence that God finally decided he had to have him. All I know is what a marvelous example of a human being, somebody who was a year younger for me, even apart, taught me a whole lot and helped me strive to become a better man. And I'm just grateful that I was able to be alive in the time of Kobe Bryant. Thanks, Ty.
I think somebody's on mute. Is anybody on mute?
Nope. Oh, I'm thinking, you're right. And I damn sure was talking a whole bunch of junk. So, again, thank you, Mike, for doing your thing. And next up is Big Easy, a.k.a. Mr. Gross, the biggest Kobe Bryant fan that I know. Your thoughts on the life, the legacy, the career, everything that he brought to the Staples Center, making you probably a fan, or what won you over? I mean, is it the build up after he shot the air balls in Utah and everybody thought that he should have never been a starter? And not me personally, I'm gonna tell you the truth. I was an Eddie Jones fan before Kobe started to rise. I was like, Eddie Jones was better. And then next you know, Kobe got out there and not only put his feet in the ground, he basically became a mainstay and a staple, pun intended, of Lakerville, being a lifelong Laker. So Easy, I'll let you do every last bit of what you want to with this bouquet of flowers for Kobe Bryant.
Yeah, Timeless, and you just hit the nail on the head, man. I was more of a Van Exel and Eddie Jones guy, and when he shot those three air balls, I was like, who is this 18-year-old kid that just blew our chance at going to the NBA Finals? Like, kind of upset about it. We had Shaq and all those guys. It's like, give them the ball. And then, you know, the next year, we've seen him start transforming. And, man, I'm just – it's a blessing to be able to see this guy's career from start to finish, like Jordan. All these – millennials, they're all hung up on LeBron James and Steph Curry and stuff, and it's like, you guys didn't witness watching Kobe Bryant and Michael Jordan play. These guys were absolutely unguardable. They would hit shots that no other player can hit. Like, LeBron James is great, but he's not a guy that you want to give the ball in the final seconds and feel confident that he's going to drain, you know, game-winning three or something like that. But, yeah, man, my daughter, God, this is hard, you know. Came out, lifelong Laker fan with me, going to games. So we'd go every time they'd play in Denver. Got a picture of her and Kobe. We were sitting there, and Kobe, during warm-ups, and the staff, they were like, hey, you guys got to back up and this and that. It's like, no, these are our seats. Like, this is where we're sitting. So, you know, relax. And thought he was ignoring us. And when he was done taking his last shot, he came right up and was like, hey, sweetie, how are you? And she's in her Kobe jersey and talked to her so nice. Got a picture with them both. And, man, like, you know, the day that I found out, it was devastating. My daughter calls me crying hysterical, you know, like, and, yeah, it hurts. This guy, he was a great person. A lot of people, this good things in the world get swept under the rug. When he was leaving the arena his first time there in L.A., like, he couldn't believe all the homeless people that he saw. He said it broke his heart. He had big charities there taking care of the homeless that he did, and just a great, humble person, man. And, you know, like, serious, you look on my Facebook, people that, you know, I'm inspiring me. I got Jesus Christ and Kobe Bryant. You know, I've battled addiction in my life and used that Mamba mentality. I took these off my wall right now to bring them in here to show you guys. I got these hanging on my wall. And it's once you know what failure feels like, determination chases success. And then you got Mamba mentality. We don't quit. We don't cower. We don't run. We endure and we conquer. And, that's how I've lived my life. Just every situation, like, no, I'm getting out of this. We can conquer any situation. You just got to have that fight and desire. And, it's still hard to this day. Like, this morning with my friend, he's a Nuggets fan, we were playing NBA 2K21. I was the 2012 USA Olympic team because they got Kobe in it. It was Kobe. And we were playing, and he's like, man, this guy is unguardable. You know, I'm like, yep, that's vintage Kobe right here. And just the effect it had, his death had on the whole world, man. Like, even people that aren't fans of basketball, like, my girlfriend's mom has, they're the farthest people from sports, and it devastated her. So, you know, just, I still, we were talking about this morning, like, why would they get on that flight? Like, why was that able to happen? How are they flying in those conditions? And, just a tragedy, but well-deserved. He's one of the guys like Michael Jordan. As soon as they retire, you can get these guys in the Hall of Fame. No one expected this to happen, obviously. It's just devastating. And then, Nuggets fans, notoriously, every game I go to, man, they would boo him the whole time he had the ball. And going to that last game when he had, and my daughter would be like, sit down, don't you know who that is? That's Kobe Bryant, the best player in the world. And she'd get mad at him at a young age for booing him. And, you know, it's cool to see these people at the end of that game when the time was running out, the whole stadium got up on their feet and gave him a standing ovation, you know. And that's what he did across the league. He touched everybody, even though it's like Jordan. I'm a big North Carolina fan. But after they beat the Lakers, oh, I started to hate Michael Jordan, you know. Like, how could this happen? Like, a lot of people, when you're great, you got a lot of haters. And, you know, every one of us, you know, may say this or that or whatever, but if we had these players on our team, we would be happy. So it's just the way it is, the nature of the beast. But, still to this day, I live by that, man. And it's just the way we got to be. I mean, touched on right now, this guy was going to change the world. He was so intelligent and so humble. A lot of people, when they got talent and stuff like that, they get arrogant, boastful, and he was never, ever like that his whole career, always trying to help out the next guy. That's why it affected the NBA so much, all these players. Because, yeah, he's competing against them, but he's trying to make them better, giving them tips and how to get better and sharing that wealth. Extremely unselfish. And, yeah, what he did for the city of L.A., Kobe's, he's known as the king in L.A., like the king of L.A. That's who it is. Like, yeah, Magic and Kareem, but Kobe Bryant is above these guys just because he lived and bled that 20 straight seasons with the Los Angeles Lakers. He had the chance to leave, and he stuck it out and made management get good players around him so he could win. And, you know, they did that. And it's just truly amazing that a player that lasts that long on a team, like Tim Duncan, same thing, 19 years with the Spurs. These guys embodied that. And one of my favorite quotes about him, when he was, I mean, he was in tears when they lost to the finals in the Celtics, and they're asking him all these questions, like, what are you going to do? How, you know, you guys can get back? He's like, I'm going to do whatever it takes. I'm going to work myself to death. I'm going to do whatever it takes for us to get back here. And they're like, oh, yeah, well, you guys, you know, you have nothing to hang your hats on, and, you know. And he's like, yeah, we do. This whole season was a failure. In Los Angeles, we play for championships. Anything else is a failure. So for a player to, you know, and that's basically what we play for. You play to win. Not alkaloids. Like, we saw LeBron James, Timeless and I and the rest of the chefs talk about this, just, oh, I'm going to stay in there to get my 10th point in so I can keep my streak going, and then I'm going to take myself out of the game. Like, Kobe Bryant would have never done anything like that. Everything he did was to win. When he scored 81 points against the Toronto Raptors, that wasn't because he wanted to, you know, get one of the best all-time, you know, games in history. He did that so the Lakers could come back and win the game. And that's how he played. And a lot of people would get mad at him. Oh, he's a ball hog. He's this. He's that. No, he's doing everything he can to win the game. And if he's the only player that's able to do that, you can't get mad at him because they end up winning the game. So, and that's when they didn't have too much help. You know, Kwame Brown and players like that back then, it was a disaster. But, you know, even the last few seasons in the league was a disaster. But I've always been there, like I always will be. I'm not a Fairweather fan, and that's my team. Every team I have, I stick with them, win, lose, or draw. And, you know, it's a great thing. My daughter is in high school, or is in high school, and this kid comes up to her, oh, you're only a Laker fan because of LeBron James. And she laughed at him, was like, LeBron James, screw LeBron James. I'm a Kobe Bryant fan, and I've been a Laker fan since birth. So, you know, and another, it'll never be LeBron saying that little, you know, it was a nice little speech, but and me and many other Lakers fans, that's why after he did it, you didn't hear the stadium erupt too loud, because it's like, no, this is never going to be your team, sir. So it's just not happening. But, yeah, it's still sad to this day, man. We were just talking about it this morning, me and my friend, and going over all the what-ifs and why, you know, they took off, why they, you know, flew. Like, Kobe Bryant went and took this risk. Like, what was really up with the pilot? Like, they go off course completely into a cloud of fog. So it's just hard and unfortunate, and one of the more unfortunate things is too is the three kids that were on that helicopter. You know, three innocent little girls lost their lives, two promising up and coming. So not only did Kobe die, these other people died too. So we got to remember them too. You know what I mean? Just an unnecessary risk took out, you know, seven people. So it just, you know, you got a lot to show. You gotta be aware, man. One false move and it's all over, and you never know when that's gonna happen. So, you know, it's best that with your loved ones and your friends, squash anything, man, that can be squashed. Don't ever be mad with each other, and always show love, because you never know when that's gonna be the last time, you know. So, but Yeah, God rest his soul, and rest in peace to a great man and one of the best basketball players to ever do, man. Revolutionary as the game, for sure.
Hey, Ty, can I get in just for half a second?
Absolutely.
So, one of the other moments I remember is always him giving that trophy to Shaquille, and they only had one, and they got the MVPs in time to take it home to Sharif.
Yeah.
I remember that. But you mentioned the 81-point game. And so there was several years later, I think it was during the year that he had the Achilles thing going on, right? So he couldn't play. So he did like a thing on Twitter where he did like a watch along, where people could like queue it up and watch the game with him. And he was tweeting comments about the game as the game was going on. So he was like, "Yeah, I'm kind of slow here, or look at the way I came off the curl right there. Like I'm starting to feel it, right?" Like, and so he was making comments like over Twitter about it as the game's going on, right? And then he hit one shot, and just as a comedy thing, he was like, "Man, I was so hot at this point, you couldn't have got me to pass a kidney stone." Like,
yep. And then, you know, one of the most amazing games, I mean, there's so many, but Dwayne Wade was completely in awe of this too, and just recently talked about it yesterday when they interviewed him. When it was Christmas Day, the Lakers were playing the Heat. Dwayne went down, put the Heat up by two with 1.7 seconds left. He's like, for sure, game over. They all knew the ball was coming to Kobe. Dwayne Wade and two other players were right on him when he caught the ball in the inbound. Kobe dribbled right up to the top of the key, 3-point fadeaway jumper, no time left, backboard game. Just a perfect shot, and just like, I mean, this is, I mean, they were terrified of Kobe Bryant getting the ball in the final seconds because this guy was going to make you pay. And like I said, the only other player like that, Michael Jordan. These guys had that killer instinct, and they were so good. See, the thing is, they trained, and Kobe Bryant lived in that gym. He was getting better. Michael Jordan, he's like, this guy used to call me at 2 and 3 o'clock in the morning, and I'd be so annoyed, like, but this guy's my little brother. Like, I would sit there and talk to him. He would ask me how to do this, what, you know, and Michael Jordan shared that information with him and propelled him to the player he was. So that question that was asked in, you know, earlier in the show, I mean, Michael Jordan was the reason why Kobe Bryant was Kobe Bryant, like, that's the way he wanted to play. He wanted to have that dominant killer instinct, and it showed on the court. But, you know, like everybody said, this guy was so much more than that. He was a very compassionate, humble person. Like, it never gets talked about, but this guy helped the homeless community in L.A. so much. Like, it broke his heart with his first game ever there in L.A., and he was like, we got to do something to help this. So, and he did, man. And, you know, he had that unfortunate thing with Colorado. But that got squared away, you know. He wasn't found guilty on it. But for all those fans here in Denver, to give him that respect, it was simply amazing because every time, man, I went to so many games there, Western Conference final games, regular season games, and every time Kobe would touch the ball, the whole stadium would erupt in boos. The Beat L.A. chants were deafening, and they respected that. And I got another friend who is a diehard Nugget fan, and when this happened to Kobe Bryant, like he called in work. I mean, he was devastated for 2 weeks. This guy would be in bed. Like, it just affected. So, I mean, just because of the person he was, and like all the celebrities and everybody said, like, there hasn't been an outpouring or anything like this from any celebrity ever dying. Like, Kobe Bryant literally, that affected the whole world, man. The whole world was grieving that day. I remember when I heard my daughter was crying, I was like, no, that's fake news, honey. No, there's no way. Like, and, you know, she's just hysterically crying. And, man, it still resonates to this day, man. It's, you know, but we got to celebrate his life and the person he is. And, man, it's a blessing. I mean, for all of us to sit here, like, we were in the greatest generation of basketball. All of us are around the same age, and we got to see Jordan's career start to finish. Duncan, Garnett, Kobe, and, you know, when you think about players coming out of high school, the only players that really succeeded, I mean, yeah, you can throw Sean Kemp in there, but Kevin Garnett and Kobe had Hall of Fame dominant careers, and these guys were the only two guys that came out of high school and really got it right away.
Moses Malone.
Yeah, absolutely. Yep, can't
yeah.
forget about
but
him.
Kobe.
But yeah, I mean, we're talking, yeah, another Hall of Famer.
And
we're talking. Yep, yep.
But
and,
Kobe
and
was
we're talking four players, you know, so that yeah. says a lot. Most of these other kids we've seen, and they just can't handle the pressure, and they're not ready for the show.
Here's the other thing. Here's the other thing, Ian, when you talk about that. Kobe, the difference, too, is Kobe was that first perimeter player. Like anybody ever else that had come in from high school was a big, right? So Kobe was that first perimeter player that did it. And so, to me, that gives him another mark there. And you mentioned Dwayne Wade. I heard a story again last night. Dwayne Wade talked about watching him in warm-ups. And the only thing that Kobe Bryant did in warm-ups was that one shot where he's got a little post move and then over his left shoulder and knocking the shot down. And he said he saw him do it over and over again. And then he said that the first time he had the ball and he was guarding him, he's like, oh, I know what he's going to do. He's going to do this move and go to this spot and then go over the left shoulder. He said, I was like, I'm ready for it. And he's like, and then he went to that spot and went right over that left shoulder, and I couldn't stop it. He's like, I just saw it. I was prepared for it. I scouted it. And then when he got out there, he did that over and over on me again that day, and I could not stop it.
Yep. Yeah,
it's
simply amazing.
Okay, well, we are at the tail end of the show. I love that these guys are getting their Laker love, man, but screw the Lakers. I'm going to do that, man.
That's right.
You know, I got to.
Give it up for the Mamba, baby. Mamba forever.
I'm not watching it go on too long.
You can say screw the Lakers all you want, but the one thing you got to at least give time is respect the Mamba.
Yep.
That's why I said the Lakers. I didn't say his name at all. I will not. That's karma. I'm not doing nothing like that at all toward him. I'd rather talk about the organization before I talk about the individual while they are not here to do anything about it. So I know the laws of karma. I will not cross that bridge at all. I'll stay right here at bay. Yeah, man, definitely thank you for everybody that's been vibing out with me, dealing with all of this stuff that's been going on in the past week and a half. I'm shattered. I really am shattered.
Hey.
And I'm thankful that I could actually get through this storm with all of y'all here, man. I can't lie. And the one thing my mother always taught me was try to stay busy while you're grieving. You know what I'm saying? Like, so you can busy your mind up. Don't, like, stay focused or watch me dwell and fall into this tunnel of, like, a depression, man. But I just lost three people in a week and a half time, man. And it's heavy right now. So especially with it being as fresh as this morning, finding out the news just minutes before I got on air, it's troubling, man. And, you know, try to love people as best as possible, man. Just like Eric said, don't let that petty stuff get in between people, man. Try to clear the air as best as possible, man. I'm trying not to wild out right now because I'm close, man. But thank you for everybody being here and you know, share a tweet as much as possible. I need plugs and closeouts from each of you. I'll start with one of the guests that I'm trying to get an apron in this building. Mike, thank you for stopping by the brunch, man. Give us a plug, closeout, shout out, anything that you like to promote as we shut the doors here at the brunch.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear who you asked. Which person you asked to speak first?
Mike.
Oh, that's
Mike,
me.
Mike.
Okay. Okay, yeah, that's me. All right, cool. I'm just making sure. First of all, thank you, Tom, for promoting the space. Thank you for letting me be here and be part of the program. As far as things going on with you, man, it's all love. You always know I'm a phone call away. I'm always going to be here for you, LeBron. First and foremost. Second of all, just exciting to see what's coming up in the sports world. They just announced that the next Hall of Fame class popped off. Chris Webber, Chris Bosh, and Paul Pierce highlight next year's Hall of Fame class. I'm excited about other platforms that you and I continue to share time as well. Look forward to seeing playoff basketball hopefully coming up in the next week. And, man, just... I almost, after all my comments about Kobe and everything that happened there, like, I almost want to leave everything on just love and respect for Mamba and the legacy that he left, and the sadness for the what we didn't get to see. But I know that he would want us all to find a reason to smile. So I'm gonna finish off with love and for Mamba and Kobe and Vanessa and that family, and everything else can wait till next time. But.
Thank you for stopping by, Mike. If you haven't heard him, he'll be on air here with us more as much as possible. Check him out. He got a lot of stuff going on, especially with Braves County or Braves Country. I love to go in there and give him a lot of trouble because of, you know, certain situation that me and him have in common. Rodri from across the pond out there in the UK, we got the chef himself in the building. Give us a plug, close out, shout out. Anything that you'd like to promote as we shut the doors here at the brunch?
So I'd say some amazing words, guys. You got me choked up there, Mike, both of you. Even was talking about your daughter, man, that's kind of special, something you can cherish. She's going to cherish, make a hell of a human being, I'd imagine. So that's kind of special, bro, and that's amazing story. Amazing story you told. As usual, boys, I'm here for you. You know, time always you feel. I know there's a past, now there's a future, right? And they couldn't wish to be in a better place. Moving forward as we go along and see where we can take this. Barry, Aaron, same to you boys, and take it easy, guys. Have a good Sunday.
That's for sure. Okay, Eric, your thoughts, anything that you'd like to promote, shout out, plug as much as you possibly can as we get ready to shut the doors here at the brunch.
Yeah, just thank all our listeners and supporters. We appreciate it. Playoff basketball is right around the corner, so be sure to check that out. Definitely check out sportscitychefs.com, the hot new logo, hot new merchandise, the blogs and everything, and all of our shows. Timeless, my brother, I'm always here for you. If you ever need to talk, don't hesitate, bro, and you'll be in my prayers. So much love and respect always. And God bless everybody out there.
Thank you very much. And Barry, you already know what to do. Shut her down.
Yeah, man, Sports City Chefs, the website. We got a fresh new coat of paint on there, so everybody get on there. Check it out. The villain's going to have a blog up in a little bit about starting a little series, top five all-time at each position in the NBA. So I'm going to do that. I'm going to preview – pretty much give my picks for the pro season, the awards for the season, MVP, Coach of the Year, all that good stuff. Maybe preview the playoffs. Just a lot of things I'm blogging, so I encourage everybody to get on there, take a read to it, get to blogging, get the right end serious. You know I'm coming for you. But, yeah, listen, the merchandise, we're out there. We're doing big things. You know, we got a lot of things popping off on Sports City, man. Like, got big plans, like Biggie said, big plans. Ha ha ha. So, villain is out. See ya.
You already know I just got some more of my Sports City Chef gear, including my coffee mug. Even though I don't drink coffee, so that's going to be my cocoa mug. I got my hoodie. I got two hoodies. I got three hoodies altogether, but I got two that are fitting. I want, like, you know, that cold weather feel. I'm going to try and get an extra design on my back. I want one with timers. I got to talk to the people upstairs. I got to talk to these people, man. But thank you for everybody that's came to support us, man, as much as possible. I need y'all as best as possible because it's been heavy for me the past, you know, 10, 12 days in my life. And just trying to steer clear, keep my head up as best as possible. But it, you know, the older you get, the more these stuff become, you know, coming around the corner as much as possible, man. But sportscitychefs.com, check out the website. We got merchandise there, T-shirts, hoodies, mugs. I want to include more. I hope we can get to the day to get hats up there. We get hats. I get a fitted. It's a wrap for everything. But on that note, tell a friend that it's the chefs again. And if they don't know, now they know.
Kaboom, Sports City Chefs is in the room, cooking up hot topics to put up on your spoon. They well in tune, bloom like a flower in June. Superman verse MF Doom, the clouds loom. So tell a friend, it's the Sports City Chefs again. Pay attention. tune in, we on a set again. Sports City, Sports City, Chef, you, Chef, you. Sports City, Sports City, Chef, you, Chef. Yeah. Cabby. Taj.
Woo! Connecticut.